With a rising global population and climate change looming, we often hear that our global food supply is in peril. But a new report from the Economist Intelligence Unit shows the issue of food sustainability faces multiple fronts and that some progress is being made. In the report called Fixing Food 2018, researchers used what they call the Food Sustainability Index to measure how countries are doing when it comes to the three biggest challenges that our global food system faces. That's food loss and waste, sustainable agriculture in the face of climate change, and nutritional challenges, both in terms of hunger and obesity. Martin Curring is the managing editor at the Economist Intelligence Unit. I spoke with him more about the report via Skype, and we began by talking about extreme hunger. Have we made any progress tackling that issue globally?
If we look at a country, for example, like Rwanda, which is one of the countries that does best, it comes on top of the index in terms of developing countries. What they do well, of course, is that they don't have problems with micronutrient deficiency, like vitamin A deficiency and these kind of things. But there is still a huge problem there in terms of undernourishment. So even a country that does well and better than all the other developing countries in the index, we still have a problem that more than 40% of the population are undernourished, according to data from the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. So in terms of tackling hunger, we're still far off from where we could be.
Yeah. And then, like you said, there's the other end of that where we have this massive obesity problem. One of the things I think is interesting that you highlight here is this this idea that as the population becomes more affluent or as emerging markets become more affluent, that also creates a problem because there's this demand for higher quality food. That seems counterintuitive, right? It seems like that would be a fix.
Yes, exactly. I mean, there's the demand for high quality food, but at the same time, we have a huge problem with obesity. I mean, for example, if you look at the U.S. is not doing pretty well in the index. It's actually 34th out of 35 high income countries. And that is, you know, that particular category of nutritional challenges. And if we dig deeper into the data, we can see that it's really because of the prevalence of overweight, the lack of physical activity, dietary patterns that are not really positive for food sustainability, but also for health. So we looked at things like the diet composition. We can see, for example, that there's a huge amount of, you know, sugar in the diet. I mean, 16.3% of diets in the U.S. contain, on that's the average, contain sugar. And that is more than anywhere else in the world. If we look at a country like South Korea, for example, only 1.8% of the diet includes sugar.
Right.
Then we look at meat consumption in the U.S. Only Australia eats more meat. Then we have saturated fat consumption in the U.S. is a big problem. And then salt. And on top of all that, you have a lot of fast food restaurants per person.
Yeah.
So if you look at the U.S., for every fast food restaurant, there are almost 3,000 people. But if you look at a country, for example, in Greece, for every fast food restaurant, there are 280,000 people.
Wow.
And on top of all of this, the policy response is not adequate. Then we have things like education. Is it compulsory in the national curriculum in the primary and secondary schools to teach about nutrition education? No, and that is rare in terms of developed countries. I mean, countries like Finland, France, Greece, and so on, they do this. So there's a huge problem here in the U.S.
Yeah. One area where the U.S. ranked a little better is in food waste. Tell us a little bit about that ranking and why that might be the case here.
Yes, that's correct. So in the food loss and waste category, the U.S. is actually doing pretty well. So the country is 11th out of the 35 high-income countries in the index. First of all, if we look at, for example, the food that is lost post-harvest, it's actually less than 1% of food production that's lost after harvest. So that's actually quite low compared to other countries. But then if we look at food waste per head, it is the biggest in the world in terms of the countries that we looked at.
Right.
But actually the policy response has been pretty good. And this is really something to highlight. So for example, in 2016, a law was passed on food date labeling, for example, that introduced some kind of standardized language for retail packaging so that, you know, there's less confusion about when food can be thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
Because food date labeling practices are one of the biggest problems of unnecessary food waste, because up to 90% of Americans actually throw away fresh food because they think that is already passed by its
Right, it's
due date.
past the date on the package, yeah.
That's right.
So in the time we have left, I want to hit on one last topic, this idea of some of these new technologies that are out there. You talk about soil sensors, satellite monitoring. Give us an idea of what some of these ideas are and where they are working.
Yes, I mean, in our report that is kind of part of the project of the Food Sustainability Index, we identified best practices. I mean, of course, yes, sensors to detect, you know, when the soil quality is deteriorating, for example. But there's also things like, for example, in Tokyo, there is a website, Co-Cooking, which allows consumers to buy meals and food products that would otherwise be thrown away, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also things like municipally run biogas digesters, so that food waste can be turned into energy through anaerobic digestion, for example. Then there is smart meter technology, for example. A London-based company called Winnow attaches these to waste bins, and that helps chefs to measure, monitor, and reduce food waste. And there is a lot of interesting initiatives around the world that we identify in our paper. There's something called Orange Fiber, which produces sustainable fabrics made from the byproducts of citrus juice, for example. And there are lots of other interesting technologies. I mean, there's something called NutriRice, which is a white rice that is also nutritious, because white rice has been associated with all kinds of health issues. So there are many, many examples that we identify in our paper of kind of best practices that can be replicated around the world.
Some things we would like to spread. All right. That is Martin Kuring. He is the managing editor at the Economist Intelligence Unit. Martin, thank you for joining us to tell us about this.
Thank you very much.